From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Central Kalimantan's food estate expansions over 30,000-acre land area. Minister inaugurates Southern Java Double Track Railway Network. Now, the news in details. President Joko Widodo confirmed that a land area spanning 30,000 hectares in two districts in Central Kalimantan will be developed into a food estate. President Jokowi remarked while inspecting a food estate in Pulang Pisau District, Central Kalimantan on Thursday, that the total area for food estate development in Central Kalimantan Province for 2020 reaches 30,000 hectares. As reported by Antara, President Jokowi in the company of Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko, Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yasin Limpo, and other related officials inspected the food estate and rice cultivation, fish cages, and duck farms located in Pandih Batu Subdistrict. In Pulang Pisau, 10,000 hectares will be developed and 20,000 hectares in Kapuas District will enter the construction phase in 2020. President Jokowi highlighted the need for modern tools to attain the required speed. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi on Thursday inaugurated the 550-kilometer Southern Java Double Track Railway project connecting Cirebon in West Java and Jombang in East Java. Sumadi noted, during the launch held virtually from the Solo Balapan Railway Station in Central Java, that after the construction of the Northern Double Track Route in 2014, Indonesia now have the 550 km track covering Cirebon, Purwokerto, Kroya, Yogyakarta, Solo, Madiun, and Jombang. The project will be continued for construction of a 65 km route of Jombang, Mojokerto, and Monokromo that is projected for competitions in the near future, the minister stated as quoted by Antara. The project connects three clusters of railway transportation, Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi, Yogyakarta, Solo, Semarang, and Gresik, Bangkalan, Mojokerto, Surabaya, Sidoarjo, and Lamongan. The project utilizes the state budget fund worth 10 trillion rupiah with the total length of the route reaching 615 kilometers. The double-track railroad is projected to increase rail traffic from 172 to 221 trains per day. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency has called to step up disaster mitigation efforts on account of a spike in the number of natural disasters in recent years. At the National Coordination Meeting on Wednesday, with several representatives of the central and regional governments, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG head Dwi Korita Karnawati highlighted the increasing threat of natural disaster related to La Nina this year. Furthermore, the intensity of earthquakes in Indonesia has soared. Earthquake and tsunami mitigation and early warning, as well as extreme weather and climate condition, are pressing matters that necessitate preparations and bolstering efforts. Problems and gaps between the central governments and region must be identified and addressed immediately to increase effectiveness in ensuring zero victims Karnawati remarked in a statement as quoted by Antara. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. President Donald Trump added more turbulence on Thursday, October 8, to the U.S. presidential race by refusing to participate in an October 15 debate with Democratic rival Joe Biden after it was changed to a virtual event to guard against the spread of COVID-19, prompting Biden to book a solo televised town hall-style event instead. Trump, who was hospitalized for 3 days after disclosing last Friday that he had tested positive for the coronavirus, blasted the format change announced by the nonpartisan commission in charge of the debates and expressed concern that his microphone could be cut off. Trump, still receiving COVID-19 treatment, also said he wanted to resume campaign rallies. Following the Republican president's comments, the Biden and Trump campaigns both proposed pushing back the debate, which has been planned as the second of three until October 22nd, the date of what was scheduled as their final encounter before the November 3rd election. Trump's campaign also proposed holding another debate on October 29, which Biden's campaign rejected. The World Trade Organization, WTO, announced on Thursday, October 8, that South Korea's trade minister and a Harvard-trained former Nigerian finance minister have qualified as the two finalists to become the next director general, ensuring a woman in the top job for the first time. A selection committee said the Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala of Nigeria and Yoo Myung-hee of South Korea qualified for the final round in a race expected to end in the coming weeks. They were picked out of a pool of 5 candidates. Both of the women that are in the final round are remarkably well qualified. This is something on which everyone has agreed, WTO spokesman Keith Rockwell told reporters. The Geneva-based WTO's General Council, made up of envoys from the 164 member bodies, eliminated Amina Mohamed, a former trade minister from Kenya, Mohamed Maziat Al-Tuaizri, a Saudi former economy minister and British former international trade secretary and Brexit proponent, Liam Fox. The European Union must stand up to Russia when it violates international norms, France and Germany foreign ministers said on Thursday, adding that a decision to push sanctions over the poisoning of a Kremlin critic, Alexei Navalny, did not end dialogue. France and Germany said on Wednesday they would propose European Union sanctions against Russian individuals after receiving no credible answers from Moscow over the use of a nerve agent on Navalny. Several Western governments have said Russia, which has denied accusations by Navalny that it was involved in poisoning him in August, must help in investigations or face consequences. European Union foreign ministers are expected to give their political support for sanctions on Monday, but they are not expected to be approved immediately, as legal texts must be prepared and cleared by experts from the 27 European Union states. The decision and speed with which Europe's two main powers agreed to push ahead with sanctions suggested a hardening of the bloc's diplomacy towards Moscow, which said on Wednesday that it no longer considered business as usual to be possible with Berlin and Paris. Lebanon's leading Sunni Muslim politicians, former Premier Saad al-Hariri, said on Thursday he feared civil strifes as the country sinks into its worst financial crisis since 1975 to 1990 civil war. Hariri said in a TV interview that he fears a civil wars and what is happening in terms of carrying arms and what they are seeing in terms of military displays in the street means the collapse of the state. Lebanon's financial meltdown since last year has wiped out the value of the currency and sent inflation soaring. It has fueled unrest in a country where divisions run deep since a war fought along sectarian lines. Hariri, a Western ally traditionally aligned with Gulf states, also said Lebanon had no way out of the crisis other than a program with the International Monetary Fund. IMF talks stalled earlier this year over dispute among Lebanese government officials, bankers, and political parties about the scale of the country's vast financial losses. Hariri added he would only return as prime minister if there was agreement by Lebanon's many fractious politicians on securing an IMF deal. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia with commentary for today entitled Conflict of Kyrgyzstan's Post-General Election. There is no party that doesn't end, but no one expects a party to turn into chaos, especially in the context of the general election, which is often referred to as a democratic party. Kyrgyzstan, a former Soviet Union state, has just completed the general election process. However, until now, there are still waves of protests and demonstration by residents. Thousands of people took the streets in the capital, Bishkek, because they did not accept the final result of the general election in Kyrgyzstan. Apart from Bishkek, there were a number of small demonstrations taking place in other cities. On Monday, demonstrators totaling around 1,000 people flooded the street of Bishkek. Quoted from Sputnik, the demonstrator came from supporters of parties whose votes were insufficient. So, they did not get legislative seats in the government. Protesters who gathered at Alatu Square demanded a revision of the election results last Sunday. They also accused the government of deliberately fabricating the election results, and there was practice of buying and selling votes. Anti-government protests also spread in several provincial centers on Tuesday. Meanwhile, supporters of President Sooronbay Jeenbekov gathered in the southern city of Osh, calling for unity and order. Kyrgyzstan, which has a population of 6.5 million and is known to be closely allied with Russia, does have a story of political instability. Over the last 15 years, two of its presidents have been overthrown by mass action and rebellions. The mass actions that have occurred in Bishkek and its surroundings recently might happen again. Even Kyrgyzstan's Election Commission announced on Tuesday that it would cancel parliamentary election results after a wave of protests broke out in the country. Hopefully, Kyrgyzstan can quickly solve its problems on its democratic journey towards a better future. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, we meet again. In Today in History, over Voice of Indonesia, we start from a historical event on October 9, 1962, the independence of Uganda. Republic of Uganda is a country in East Africa. The country, nicknamed the Pearl of Africa by Winston Churchill, is bordered by Kenya to the east, Sudan to the north, the Democratic Republic of Congo to the west, Rwanda to the southwest, and Tanzania and Lake Victoria to the south. In the 19th century, Uganda was ruled by Britain and Egypt. At that time, Uganda became a province of Egypt named Equatoria. The rule of Equatoria by Egypt ended in the reign of Emin Pasha in 1889 and transferred to British hands in 1890. The struggle for independence from Britain began in 1945-1949, when the riots of the proletariat broke out. In 1953, King Mutesa II was exiled to England and returned to Uganda in 1955. Finally, on October 9, 1962, Uganda gained independence from Britain. Next, turn to a history. On October 9, 2004, French philosopher Jacques Derrida passed away. Jacques Derrida is a French philosopher. He is known for his successful development of semiotic analysis, which is popularly known as deconstruction. Jacques Derrida is an important figure in postmodern philosophy. During his career, Jacques Derrida wrote more than 40 books, hundreds of essays and public presentations. He is considered to have had a major influence in the social science and humanities, law, anthropology, historiography, linguistics, and social linguistics. His work became a major influence on the continent of Europe and Latin America. On October 9, 2004, Jacques Derrida died at the age of 74 from cancer. The history of International Correspondence Day is commemorated on October 9 annually. International Correspondence Day, or commonly known as World Post Day, is commemorated every 9 October annually. This idea firstly appeared at the Universal Postal Union Congress in Ottawa, Canada, in 1957. This date was chosen because October 9, 1874, was the date of the founding of the World Postal Union. Postal services in the world are quite old, and post-Indonesia has had a long journey. When Indonesia was still colonized by the Dutch, posturing in Indonesia began in 1602 during the VOC era. In 1809, Governor General Dandles built the Post Raya route that stretched for 1,000 kilometers from Anyer to Panarukan. The existence of the postal highway brought great changes in the world of the post at the time. The travel time from West Java to East Java, which previously took 40 days, can be shortened to 6 days, so that postal mail travel in Indonesia at that time grew rapidly. Listener, that was Today in History.
Hati selalu bergetar kalau ingat kamu. Cinta kasih terasa makin mereka kalau ingat kamu. Sekarang aku terbuai rindu penuh kasmara, terpana-pana asmara karena kamu. Kasmaran, terpana-pana asmara karena kamu. Aku gundah, aku resah, teringat di kau kekasih. Bayangan seraut wajah begitu menawan hingga siang malam hanya
kamu.
Selalu bergetar kalau ingat kamu. Cinta kasih terasa makin mereka kalau ingat kamu. Sekarang aku terbuai rindu penuh kasmara, terpana-pana asmara karena kamu. Asmaran, terpana-pana asmara karena kamu. Aku gundah, aku resah, teringat di kau kekasih. Bayangan seraut wajah begitu menawan hingga siang malam hanya
kamu.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, titling Indonesian House Passes Omnibus Law on Job Creation. The Job Creation Omnibus Bill, or Omnibus Law Ciptaker, was officially passed into law at the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR plenary session on Monday, October 5th. Deputy Chairman of the Chambers of Commerce and Industry for International Relations, Sinta Wijaya Kamdani, said that the business community welcomes and appreciates the government and the DPR for agreeing the ratification of the Omnibus Law on Job Creation to become law. She believes that the Job Creation Omnibus Law is able to answer problems that have been an obstacle in the business world, especially related to overlapping regulations and permits. Therefore, it can increase investment, which is expected to boost the economy and investment through the creation and expansions of employment opportunities. Sinta Wijaya Kamdani also said that the presence of the Job Creation Omnibus Law is important and necessary to support Indonesia's economic growth through economic recovery and transformation programs, especially in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic conditions, which have weakened the entire world economy. The dynamic of global economic change needs to be responded quickly and accurately, because without structural reforms, economic growth will continue to slow down. The COVID-19 pandemic has a broad impact, not only on health, but also a contractions in the economy, including the provisions of jobs. Currently, many have lost their jobs. The Job Creation Omnibus Law is important and necessary to support economic growth. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, said the Job Creation Law was needed to increase the effectiveness of the bureaucracy and increase employment. Minister Erlangga Hartarto added, this law will provide benefits to society and the government. Indonesia needs simplification, synchronization, and trimming of regulation. For this reason, a Job Creation Omnibus Law is needed, which revises several laws that hinder the achievement of goals and job creation. The law also acts as an instrument and simplifies and increases the effectiveness of the bureaucracy. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Anata kara kurushimio ubaeta sono toki watashi ni mo ikite yuku yuki ga waite kuru hidupku hampa tanpa dirimu sepi merasuk dalam jiwaku peluk diriku genggam tanganku rasakan cintaku I wait to more arabai Dabi ni tsukareta toki Dada kokoro no tomo to Watashi o yonde Oh Senyumanmu bahagiaku Tangisanmu itu lukaku Kan ku simpan dalam hatiku Rasa akan mati Shizuka ni mabuta tojite Kokoro no doa o hiraki Watashi o tsuka Oh, tiada lagi ku rasakan.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you some Berkelap Island, a tourism object in South Kalimantan. Berkelap is a small island which is located in Kota Baru Regency, South Kalimantan. The natural panorama of the island is a combination of white sand beaches and calm blue sea, adding with the amazing beauty of the underwater world. The beach is located in Pulau Sabuku Subdistrict, Kota Baru Regency, South Kalimantan. Heading to Berkelap Island, it can be started from Banjarmasin by plane from Samsudin Nur Airport to Kota Baru Regency that takes about 1 hour. If you use land transportation, it takes about 7 to 8 hours. After arriving at Kota Baru, you can use a speedboat with 200,000 rupiah fee to Berkelap Island that takes about 2 hours. However, if the waves are calm, you can choose to use the ship with at least 4 hours trip. When arriving at Berkelap Island, you will be enchanted by its natural beauty. The water is very clean. You can snorkel and enjoy the beauty of thousands of coral reefs and colorful fish. In addition to swimming, you also can see turtles laying eggs at night. Berkelap Island is a turtle egg breeding place. There are two types of turtles that inhabit this island, namely the green turtle and the hawksbill turtle. You cannot visit Berkelap Island at any time. It is only in certain months such as April, May, October, November, and December, because at that time the waves are very calm and safe for ships to cross the island. When you would like to visit, don't forget to bring your own needs, such as food and drinks, because no one sells these necessities there. Berkelap Island also offers cottages for those who want to stay overnight, with around 200,000 rupiah rate per night, or you can also do camping by using your own camping equipment. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Berkelap Island. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Goodbye for now.
Kapan kah lagi rasakan sunyi mencekam hati pun tersiksa ada rindu untukmu seputih gaun muka kasih begitu hatiku tak ingin ku jauh dari lembutnya sinar di matamu, sayang. Kau begitu sadarnya, namun bergetar sendu hati ini. Kapan lagi kita berbincang dan berterus terang? Kapan, kapan kau lagi? Ku rasakan sunyi mencekam, hati pun tersiksa. Putih gaun muka kasih begitu hatiku tak ingin ku jauh darimu lembutnya sinar di matamu sayang kau begitu seadanya namun bergetar sendu hati hati ini saya hati ini.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you about suppressing the spread of COVID-19. ITS students initiate co-cyber technology. Stay tuned. The Instrumentation Engineering Department at Vocational Faculty, 10 November Institute of Technology, ITS, succeeded in initiating an innovation called CoSaber, Corona Smart Band and Smart Detector, a smart presence technology to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in small and medium industries. Chair of the Army's team, Eko Rian Fauzi, said that since June, the government has implemented a new habitual adaptation period to restore the wheels of the economy in Indonesia. But the impact of this policy has apparently added a new cluster to the spread of COVID-19. They considered the present method using fingerprint to be one of the causes of the spread of the virus. Therefore, Kosaber is here as a solution. Kosaber consists of two devices, namely smart band and smart detector, which are connected by an internet connection. The smart band is specially designed to resemble a bracelet that workers will wear. This tool functions to monitor the travel history of worker so that this tool is accompanied by a global positioning systems GPS. Meanwhile, the smart detector is used as a non-contact person tool before workers enter the work location. To minimize physical contact, a face detection feature is embedded to identify workers who are in attendance. In this device, there is also an infrared ray-based temperature sensor to measure the body temperature of workers without making physical contact. For how it works, first, the ultrasonic sensor will identify the presence of someone before the device. If he or she is detected, the camera will later take an image of the worker's face. Then, the results will be processed by face detection technology to find out the identity of the worker who is attending. Furthermore, the travel history of the worker will be retrieved from cloud storage and automatically identified whether the worker has visited one or more locations on the COVID-19 blacklist. The result of the temperature identification and the location visited will be reprocessed and displayed by the indicator. Echo revealed that previously there was a similar technology in 2014, especially in the use of face detection as an online presence. What distinguishes this study is that the Kosaber technology is equipped with features of measuring body temperature and identifying the travel history so that it can adjust the condition of the COVID-19 pandemic currently hitting the world. That was Miss Lenny for today. Thanks for listening.
Masih seperti yang dulu, menunggumu sampai akhir hidupku. Kesetiaanku teluntur, hati pun rela berkorban demi keutuhan kau dan aku. Biarkan dan kerinduan untukmu jamaah hatiku. Malam ini tak ingin aku sendiri, ku cari damai bersama bayanganmu. Hangat pelukan yang masih ku rasa, sama bayanganmu. Hangat pelukan yang masih ku rasa, kau kasih, kau sayang. Malam ini tak ingin aku sendiri, ku cari damai bersama.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a Malay song entitled Zapin Melayu to be sung by Lesti Andriani. Lesti's name in Indonesia is famous through the Dangdut Singer Talent Competition at Indonesian Private Television. Her success on Indonesian musical Dangdut stage makes Lesti be the winner of the competition of Asian Dangdut Music, the Academy Asia. The Asian Dangdut Singer Competition event was directly broadcasted by the private television in Indonesia. The second winner, titled Allow It, Lesti Andriani, who is famous with the name Lesti Kejora, to sing a song of Malaysian composer Pak Ngah, entitled Zapin Melayu. The song, which was released in 2016, tells about the beauty of Zapin dance. Zapin is a Malay folk dance. The word Zapin comes from the Arabic word Zafin, which means fast footwork that follows the beat of the drum. This dance is one of several types of Malay dances that are still often performed today, and the Malay are generally found in North Sumatra, Rio Jambi, South Sumatra, and Bengkulu. Here is Lesti Andriani with the song entitled Zapin Melayu. Enjoy the song. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Saat ku sendiri, ku lihat foto dan video bersamamu yang telah lama ku simpan.
In though it breaks my heart, seeing pain. preserve myself with you, but we know those moments are gone.
Cooling and sad in the ankao,
listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.